Welcome to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. The 21st century has introduced new norms and resources that are of immense value to businesses and their bottom line. Yet in business, we require relevance and innovation, not just more information. We need the true stories of what works and what does not work. Our program today will tell you what you need to know. The experiences, perspectives, and resources shared by Jen and her guests will make all the difference for you and your business moving forward. Now, here's your host, Jen Sabin.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Moving Forward. This is Jen Sabin, and today we have a stunning topic and an extraordinary guest. We're really, really fortunate. We're going to be discussing today and exploring emotional intelligence, the next generation. Now, for some of you, you may be familiar with emotional intelligence. It certainly is something that's at the top of the hit parade, so to speak, in terms of jargon that's out there and articles and focus and attention, especially in the corporate world. What do we mean when we say emotional intelligence? My understanding of emotional intelligence is that it is the ability to monitor one's own and others' feelings, so we can monitor our own and others' feelings and emotions, and to discriminate amongst this and use this information as a guide. So it's really the ability, our ability to identify, assess, and control our emotions, and also in relations to others, individuals or groups. Now, we know that for ourselves as starting businesses, business owners, growing businesses, being responsible for maintaining the existing business relationships, the sales of products and services, revenue, team, all of it, it involves interaction. It involves dealing with people. We could have a great product or service, and yet it's that human factor that will trip everything up. You know, whether it's us as leaders, whether it's dealing, cultivating new business relationships, vendors, dealing with our target market, customer service, whatever, or just fostering a collaborative and a high-performing team. You know, and none of this is meant to be highbrow talking about it, but we know that bottom line, this area is something that could trip us up and have business take a different direction. And yet, it's not so much emotional intelligence. I mean, there's intelligence, cognitive, smarts. Then there's this other piece, emotional intelligence. And from what I understand, we may hear something different from our guest today. It's not even so much that emotional intelligence is what is that contributing factor to those successful capabilities that serve us well in the workplace and growing our businesses. It's the emotional competence, which is linked to and based upon our emotional intelligence. So a certain level of emotional intelligence is needed to support as a foundation or is necessary to learn emotional competencies. And emotional competencies are personal and social skills that support excellent performance in the world of work, you know, outcomes, results. And, you know, consider that our ability to discern or accurately identify what another person is feeling enables us to develop a competency such as influence, right? So it makes sense and it's all linked. And we might be talking about things in what sounds like a broad manner using some terms that may seem kind of grounded. They're kind of up there, you know, emotional intelligence, emotional capacity. But what I'm excited about for today is our guest and the strides and the just what he's accomplished in this arena and what we have an opportunity to learn that will really serve us well as businessmen and women. And today we have Tom Stone. And Tom Stone is an internationally acclaimed author and speaker. He's the founder and CEO of Great Life Technologies. And Tom has been pioneering a new field called human software engineering for the last 15 years. And a pioneer is someone who discovers something new. They venture out to discover something new, an idea or an area. And Tom has really done that. He's been figuring out just what the bugs are in our inner human software and finding out the best ways to debug and upgrade human beings. He's developed extraordinary techniques for resolving what Tom would refer to as the two databases of not useful emotions. And the techniques have been used for a wide range, a very broad spectrum of applications, including removing inner barriers to being a leading top performer. And incredibly, the rapid and thorough resolution of an anxiety and depression and the development of an entirely new definition of emotional competence. You know, some of Tom's book titles include Vaporize Your Anxiety Without Drugs or Therapy, The Power of How, and ebooks include Vaporize Your Fear of Rejection, Vaporize Your Fear of Public Speaking, and Trauma Resolution Made Easy, among others. He's a co-star. We actually co-starred together in the movie, which is an award-winning movie now, The Keeper of the Keys. And Tom is currently in Switzerland. He's launching a global campaign for emotional competence, giving emotional mastery seminars all over Europe. We are so fortunate today to have Tom Stone. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Jen. Appreciate that kind introduction. Great to be with you.
Wonderful. So, you know, there's so much rich information here that will be really impactful and relevant to what our listeners know right now that will open up some incredible new avenues that will impact their businesses. But I want to begin with, could you tell us a little bit about your story? You have an incredible story. Everything, I mean, you're an inventor in the truest form of an inventor, and authentically, I know I'm speaking over myself, but authentically behind every invention is almost this incredible desire to improve the quality of people's lives. And you have such a unique story. Would you take a moment or two and just share with our listeners some of what brought you to that place?
Well, I think what you're referring to is I had a very bizarre personal experience back in 1993. I was living in the Midwest in Iowa, a small town in Iowa called Fairfield, Iowa. And one evening I went to open my front door and there was a stranger standing there. And from behind his back, he pulled out a big handgun and proceeded to shoot me in the chest. And it's a total miracle it didn't kill me. It turned out, I found out later, it was a 44 caliber handgun. Hunters use them for killing bears. So normally people don't survive a hit in the chest at close range with a 44. Somehow, miraculously, it didn't kill me, and I lived through it. Needless to say, I was a little traumatized by the incident.
Needless.
So I went looking for something that could be truly curative of the trauma. I mean, obviously I had two surgeries, and second one to get the bullet out. They couldn't get it out the first time. And the physical healing was certainly there to be done, but the emotional healing from the trauma was really significant. I mean, I had all the traditional PTSD symptoms, nightmares, flashbacks, you know, startle response, everything. And so I didn't know it was called that, and I didn't really, wasn't into going to get cognitive therapy help. I'd had some when I was young. I knew that wasn't going to work. So I went looking for something that would give me real answers for not just coping with the trauma, but actually resolving it completely. And I was extremely fortunate to hit on some amazing insights into the nature of our pre-verbal human conditioning that set us up to be really lousy at resolving trauma and anxiety. I mean, everybody is. And they set us up basically to be emotionally incompetent. We live in essentially an emotionally incompetent world. But I was also extremely fortunate, even more so, I would say, to discover some amazing techniques that teach us to do the exact opposite of what we're deeply conditioned to do. And instead of going away from where the energy of an emotion held in the body is intense, we learn how to dive right into the center of it. And it turns out that the way out is actually in. It's the opposite of what we're conditioned to do. So I learned how to do this, and I managed to completely cure myself from my own post-traumatic stress. And then I started working with other people, and I've had incredible successes. I mean, a woman who was grieving for 15 years over her daughter's, 3-year-old daughter's death in a terrible accident, tried everything she could for 15 years. 45 minutes later, all her grief was gone. All she could remember was the love for her daughter. A Vietnam veteran who had nightmares for 43 years and 17 years of cognitive therapy at the Veterans Administration, and he still had his nightmares. In one session of an hour and a quarter, all the traumas creating nightmares are gone. That night, first time in 43 years, he slept 9 hours with no nightmares. And 8 hours since, I saw him a year and a half later, it's been 8 hours a night since, no nightmares, one session. So these are incredibly effective techniques, not only for resolving extreme trauma kind of situations and stresses like that, but also for resolving the whole array of trauma, anxiety kind of things that are at the basis of clouded, unclear, poor decision making and poor thinking. And that's where we use these techniques in a corporate environment.
You know, it's amazing because that these things exist in the world and that they've come from a primary source, which is you. You know, very often these things are just, they're just so woven into the fabric of what we know that we don't often associate them with a source. And I think that's why, and I appreciate you kind of sharing your personal story. It really does give it a different depth in terms of how you came to be in this industry and how you know it really works. This isn't just something that you've studied in kind of a sterile environment. This was a life's journey in so many ways. In a moment, we are going to be taking a break. And when we come back, I want to for us to discuss human software engineering, because it sounds like that's what you're talking about in or what you would call it, because this really is a new field, and I want to connect the language and the titles to what it actually is. So we're going to be going to a break now, and when we come back, we're going to be discussing human software engineering and learning about these bugs in our software that you've mentioned and how they affect us, but how do we debug it? Not just identifying them, but how do we get to the other side? We'll be right back with Tom Stone.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Costa, host of The Costa Report. Our guest this week is going to give us a rare look into the world of global hackers. The author of We Are Anonymous, Parmi Olson, will be here to tell us how hackers have assaulted Visa, PayPal, Sony Entertainment, even the Vatican. This is one program you don't want to miss. Join Parmi Olson this Tuesday at 6 a.m. and again at 6 p.m. on the Voice America Business Channel.
Tune in for What About Wealth every week to learn the vital answers to your questions about creating wealth, investing it, donating it, and protecting it. Your hosts are Rich Bloomfield and Rick Durfee, who explain the principles that govern wealth in terms you can understand. Building and preserving positive wealth requires correct action, but few people know how wealth really works. Listen every Tuesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and find the answers you need about wealth.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. We are so fortunate to have Tom Stone with us today, and he's the founder and CEO of Great Life Technologies. And Tom is really pioneered in a new field called human software engineering. And we're going to be discussing with Tom now a bit of what that is and what are these kind of bugs in our human software and certainly how they affect us. Tom, could you tell us a bit more about what human software engineering is?
Well, the analogy is very simple and direct. I mean, you know, when something's not working with the computer and the hardware's okay, we have to look to the software. And if the software isn't giving the output that's needed, we have to either debug or upgrade or reinstall the software. Turns out to be very similar for human life. When we're not getting the output, in other words, the results in our life that we want, and, you know, body's okay, hardware's okay, then we have to look to our inner human software. Well, what is that? That's our thoughts, our feelings, our intentions, our desires, all the things that are at the basis of our actions. And when I went looking for, when I got the concept, the idea of human software engineering, the first job was to figure out, okay, well, what are the bugs in our inner human software? What are the things that mess up the code and give us a faulty output, just like with computers? So I went exploring, and what I discovered is that when we're little, we all get emotionally overwhelmed, and nobody likes it. In fact, everybody hates it so much that there seems to be a universal feeling-level decision to put a lid on accessing our own natural capacity to feel. Well, this turns out to be a setup for becoming, as I mentioned before, really lousy at resolving emotional pain, anxiety, trauma, and the like. And so what I discovered was that we tend to accumulate two databases of what are called not useful emotions. One of them is specifically incomplete experiences. That means something really intense happened. We have a tremendous emotional reaction to it, and it's just too much for us to process. We can't complete it. And so the body keeps producing the energy of it, and we are holding it in our body, and we just can't complete it. And we accumulate more and more of these. These are the traumas, the emotional pain, the heartbreak, the grief. You know, it's that sort of knot in your solar plexus or belly that you feel when you think about something that's unresolved for you. The other category are what are called reactive emotions. Reactive emotions are the ones that we have that are based on stories that we're making up in our minds. So when we're anxious, for example, we're projecting the possibility of a negative outcome onto the future. And when we do that, we then have a fear reaction about something that might happen or might not happen, for that matter. It has nothing to do with this moment. It's all future-based. It's based on a story we're making up about something that doesn't even exist. That's one subcategory of reactive emotions. The other subcategory is reactions to unmet expectations. When we're trying to control, get some sense of control in life, we often will create an expectation that things will be a certain way. But the problem is, again, this is a story we're making up in our mind, and then when it doesn't happen, of course, and it can't happen because it just existed in our mind and nowhere else, we have an upset. We get angry or frustrated or disappointed or whatever, and this leads to a whole array of not useful emotional reactions that are a total waste of life energy because they're all reactions to stories we're making up in our mind that have nothing to do with reality. So everyone on the planet is deeply conditioned to accumulate these two databases of not useful emotions. And this makes people fundamentally, emotionally very incompetent. Because what happens is every time you go to think about something, your thinking is colored and clouded by all this reactive emotions and incomplete experiences. And you tend to not make decisions from a place of calm clarity. You tend to make decisions out of emotional reactivity. And when you do that, you tend to make bad decisions. So emotional incompetence is really a major undermining factor of the way everyone in society functions. It has a profound and very negative impact on productivity and performance in business.
You know, it absolutely makes sense. And how do we even discern this if it's so woven into the fabric of who we are and our life experiences, and in some ways makes us how we know ourselves?
Well, it's a great question. And obviously what's needed is some training. I mean, when you're deeply conditioned to be a certain way, it means you're essentially trained to be that way. And so in order to undo that, one needs training in how to recognize when you're caught in a reactive emotion or incomplete experience. And then you need training in these very simple, powerful techniques that are used to resolve those emotional experiences. Now, most people, emotions have two attributes to them. They have content, which is where most people are usually thinking, oh, I'm angry because, or why did that happen? Or I'm afraid of that because that might happen. When we're focused on the content, we don't tend to resolve the emotion very well at all. The other part of the emotion is the energy that gives life to the emotional experience. And it turns out the energy that gives life to it is the place to deal with it. So, for example, when I mentioned before about the woman with the grief of her 3-year-old daughter dying in this terrible car accident 15 years ago, she was holding the energy of the incomplete pain in several places in her body, and she needed to be guided to learn how to complete the incomplete experience that was held there. We have a technique called the CORE technique. It stands for Center of Remaining Energy. And it teaches you to dive right into the center of the most intense part of the energy. It turns out that if you get really close to the energy field, there's a little opening there, like an eye of a hurricane. And if you get close enough and you find it and you dive in and you just feel down the center of the vortex that runs right down the center of the energy field, when you come out the bottom, the experience is complete, the energy dissipates and it's gone. And it doesn't come back because you got every bit of experiential wisdom that the body was trying to bring you from that experience. It's an amazing technique. It's the opposite of what people are conditioned to do. And so it takes a little bit of training. So the answer to your question is it takes some training.
Yeah, this is extraordinary because this really is a new way of thinking and approaching with things that are kind of common to all human beings. And when we think of, I'm thinking of salespeople and business leaders and, you know, someone starting their own business and just how all of this, from the kind of those reactive dynamics and the incompletions influence how things are. I mean, at such level where it's not even conscious. It's just, again, kind of woven into the fabric. What would be the difference? Because this is so much at the source of something. As you said, you're actually debugging, which is different than rebooting. You know what I mean? And you know, because we hear a lot in terms of, and I think I'm going specifically to, in terms of sales, you know, positive kind of conditioning.
Pumping yourself up,
yeah, and really thinking in a very positive, proactive way. That sounds like a surface relationship to what you're talking about.
What that's like, Jen, is it's like trying to install good application software on a bugged operating system. Okay. And the thing I mean by that is that the fundamental problem in sales, the most basic one, is the fear of rejection. And everybody has the fear of rejection. Even people who don't think they have it to some degree. This is because when we're little, we get told no a whole lot. And many of those no's are actually, even though they may not seem like a big deal to our parents or to whoever is telling us, some of them are actually pretty traumatic. And they leave us with a kind of incomplete, painful file folder filled with these old painful no experiences. And so when you go out to sell, and you're wanting a yes, and you're afraid you're going to get a no, what you're actually afraid of is that somebody's going to say no, and they're going to reach in and sort of press on that tender, painful no place inside of you, and you don't like to go there. It doesn't feel good to go there. And so it's not an intellectual thing of pumping yourself up. I mean, that those can be good. But there's something much, much more fundamental. And that is to use the core, and the other technique is called the C technique. I'll explain it in a moment. But the core and C techniques for resolving the energy of not only the painful, incomplete no experiences, but also the projection of the possibility that you're going to get another no. And when you're caught up in the anticipation of that, what do you think you create? You know?
It's so interesting because you're really talking about eliminating the source of something that most of us don't relate to, that it can't even be eliminated. It's one thing to handle this situation and I'm pumped up for this meeting, or we're going to, you know, we have this opportunity for a business, and yet you're talking about something that is so new, even though we're using words that are familiar and talking about it in a very kind of layman's term. It reminds me of when you think of what an iPhone or a Droid or smartphones look like today, and then you think of a telephone. Like, they're so far apart from one another.
Yeah.
That it's almost inconceivable that we've evolved to this thing. The former isn't recognizable in so many ways, the predecessor. And that sounds like where you are, because you're talking about that when you, because of all you're bringing into it in terms of energy and really talking about the ability to complete something that for so many of us to get our heads around that that's something that could be completed, like done, finished, extinct like a dinosaur.
You know, when you are about to share a strawberry with somebody who's never tasted one before, you could describe it all day long, and they would never know what you're talking about until they take a bite. And the techniques that I'm talking about are experiential techniques. And so we can talk about them, and you're absolutely right. This is so new. This is not at all superficial. This is a major, major breakthrough for this area. And these techniques are experiential, so you actually have to experience them in order to really understand what they are. We can kind of describe them, but because it's experiential, you really have to experience them.
Now, in a moment, we're going to be taking a break, and when we come back, I want to hear more about the Global Campaign for Emotional Competence and what your definition is of emotional competence. Like, what? How would you describe that in terms of, you know, the I referred to earlier, the personal and social skill sets that lead to particular performance, that foundation that relies upon emotional intelligence, and. Let's start there when we get back. There's so much to talk about. We're going to go to break now, and when we come back, we're going to be continuing to speak with Tom Stone, CEO of Great Life Technologies and truly a pioneer.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. Do you, like most Americans, spend the majority of your life at work? Are you making it the joy that it deserves to be, or are you feeling drained and unfocused? Tune in to A Great Place to Work with hosts Kirk Kaufman and Dr. Kathy Sorensen. Your hosts have more than 30 years of experience in workplace consulting and are ready to bring you the secrets and success stories of businesses who are making their business a great place to work. Listen every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and enjoy a better workplace and a better life. Are you a business innovator or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. What does a visual workplace mean to you? How does it contribute to operational excellence? And what steps do you take to put it powerfully in place? Listen to The Visual Workplace, Work That Makes Sense, to find out. Each week, Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, visual workplace expert and award-winning author, shares tools and strategies to help you make the workplace speak at a glance without saying a word. Learn to work safer, faster, better, and at far less cost, no matter what business you're in. Tune in to The Visual Workplace every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello, welcome back, everyone. We're speaking with Tom Stone, CEO of Great Life Technologies. We're very fortunate to be exploring emotional intelligence, the next generation. And Tom is just, he's a pioneer, and the work he's done, for if you're just joining in now, to really understand the results created from what he has discovered and really pioneered in, they're unprecedented. And in, even just in terms of resolution of trauma and anxiety, they appear to be permanent. This is groundbreaking stuff. And I know, Tom, right now you are in Switzerland. You're talking to us from Switzerland. I'm U.S.-based. And you're launching a global campaign for emotional competence. And it's the Global Campaign for Emotional Competence. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, it's a really kind of exciting idea. I was in New Zealand, actually, earlier this year, part of February, March, and April. And while I was there, the result of one interesting meeting with someone led to the idea of creating a campaign for an emotionally competent New Zealand. It's a small country, only 4 million people. This is maybe doable, you know, because we don't even have to get everybody emotionally competent, just enough people that it would make a real difference. So we decided to launch that campaign. We started holding seminars there called Free to Succeed, which is about training people in these basic skills of how to resolve these two databases of not useful emotions with these powerful new techniques called CORE and C. And the result of it was this incredible enthusiasm. We talked about it, and as we did, we just got the natural idea. You know, we shouldn't just do New Zealand, let's do the whole world. So the concept is that I'm now in the process of giving the foundational seminars in English-speaking countries. We call them Free to Succeed. There's an internet-based one as well. And then in the German-speaking countries, that doesn't translate very well. So we call it Emotional Mastery. And so I'm giving these seminars in Germany, the Netherlands, Austria, Switzerland, Slovenia, all over the place in Europe. And what happens is people from the seminars get so excited about it, they want to become part of the campaign, and they want to learn to become facilitators or coaches and presenters of the seminar. So then we're just beginning to launch the training of the facilitator presenters of the Free to Succeed seminar, or Emotional Mastery seminar, as the case may be. And the goal is to get these courses in training people in the fundamentals of this new level of emotional competence, to have these seminars going on in every major city in the world every weekend. That's our goal. So we're working on that. It's just being launched, but I'm getting incredible support everywhere I talk about it. In fact, I've been invited now to China after the first of the year. I'll be teaching this in China as well.
This is really an extraordinary grassroots. It sounds strategic and discernment in there, but there's something that's like a brush fire.
It feels like it's happening like that. Yeah, it's kind of exciting.
Which makes sense. Also, it just occurred to me that once people have experienced this and are on the other side of it, there's this incredible freedom and ability to share it with people and let people know, because a lot of what would trip people up in terms of those non-useful emotions has been dealt with and sorted out. So there must be just this kind of, you know, typically I call confidence practiced and not practiced, but this level of self-esteem and self-expression that probably wasn't accessible before.
That's exactly right. When you're caught up in all your databases of not useful emotions, what happens is your whole perception is sort of filtered by them. It's kind of like having dark glasses on. You're sort of seeing the world through the energy of all your emotional stuff, you know, all your emotional baggage. And as you peel that away and actually literally get rid of it, you know, resolve it, either complete it with the core technique or extract yourself from the reactive energy field, the reactive emotional energy field with the C technique, when you do that, the haziness or the cloudedness of your perception starts to clear up more and more and more. And as it does, I kind of, in some seminars, I say it's like having this layer of cheese between you and your authentic self. And every time you resolve one of these not useful emotions, like punching a hole in the cheese, makes it more like Swiss cheese. Here I am in Switzerland. You know? And so what we want is all holes and no cheese. So as you complete the incomplete experiences and you extract yourself from the reactive emotional energy fields, those become less and less and less present in your awareness, and you get more and more of a kind of rich, silent, powerful presence. And it's from there that the teachers of this program are going to teach. That's what we train them to do. No fear of public speaking, no fear of rejection, no anxiety, no depression, just being able to come from that powerful, silent place.
I'm curious, though, and this comes from being in the soup of I love public speaking, and yet, you know, there have been certain times in my career, and certainly it will be, at least from this vantage point, where I'm nervous or I'm trepidatious. There are trepidations about something, and I've always thought that that helps to kind of access other parts of yourself. And what you're saying is you don't even need those things to get to the other side. They don't even have to be there.
No, they're actually a distraction. What you really want is you want to be able to come from the fullness of who and what you truly are. And when you do that, it makes it possible for you to respond spontaneously to the needs of every moment with the fullness of your being. So you're not necessarily saying some predetermined, canned thing. You're actually able to really speak to the needs of your audience in an extremely powerful way.
Now, there's two roads that are that I'm curious about, and I'm going to focus on one first, which is, so you have this global campaign for emotional competence happening, and you're noticing that there's this groundswell of people who've experienced, and I'm going to call it your product,
you know,
to diminish or minimize it. It is a product. This is what your company does. And they want to be involved. They, because of the difference it's made for them and what they see could be available for other people, they believe in it. They're more than advocates. They want to be a part of it. And so, in terms of the business of all this, because you're talking about major scalability and, you know, the kind of logistics of rolling something of this out, in terms of the business, what if one of the surprises been, or something that's been unexpected that you have to deal with that it never occurred to you you'd have to deal with?
Well, I think initially it was a surprise, but it didn't take long for us to figure out that we do have a problem, and that is that this product is an experiential product. It's like we were talking about before. If you haven't tasted a strawberry, you don't know what a strawberry tastes like. Well, it's kind of difficult to market strawberries to people who've never tasted them, you know? And so one of the ways that we're going to be dealing with that, I've recently brought on someone into the business who has been a consultant to the telecommunications and electric companies in the New Zealand and Australia area for about 25 years. He knows all the heads of human resources, he's very close to them. He's had a lot of success. And what we're going to do there is we're going to have some of his buddies give to a bunch of the employees in the company an emotional competence assessment. And that will make it clear that there's a need for an increased emotional level of emotional competence. Then what we're going to do is provide some pilot program trainings to take them through upgrading their emotional competence very rapidly, and then assess them again and see the difference. But in addition, he has all of the industry norm methodologies for measures of increased performance. And what we're going to do is do that testing as well, so we can then correlate the increased emotional competence with the increased productivity and performance. And that will give us a quantification of this experiential stuff. Once we have that, we can publish that, and then the phones probably will be ringing off the hook.
You're making my heart sing, because one of the things certainly that I do work with my clients on is the ability to quantify results if they're in a particular service or product-based industry that warrants it, not necessarily a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
However, you know, one of the things, to my understanding, that made emotional intelligence such a phenomenal take such a stronghold in the corporate world in the late 80s and 90s was because of the degree that they were able to show that there was an improvement in performance and that it impacted the bottom line. I know there was that example of the CEO of Johnson & Johnson read an article in Harvard Business Review and sent that article out to their top 400 global executives to read it, having to do with the performance benefits that were quantifiable. And this certainly caught the ears and attention. I think of the business owners who are listening and imagine if there was a track record that in terms of sales, that with this experience, there were X results and prior there were Y results. I mean, it's a very compelling thing.
Yeah, there was a famous article in Fast Company about American Express doing a study where they put 50 financial planners through a basic emotional intelligence training and compared their results with 50 who had not gone through it. and they got a 2% increase in revenue. Well, doesn't sound like much, but in financial planning, it translates to millions. So they instituted that training across the board. So this is exactly the kind of thing you're talking about. And I've been eager to get this kind of quantification and data because I know we're going to blow the socks off of that 2% with our new technique. The difference in emotional competence will be enormous, and the difference in productivity should be huge too. I mean, just debugging people for the fear of rejection. You talk about an impact on sales. Wow.
Absolutely. It's almost... that, you know, and that's something that could be permanent and not change who they are, that this is not anything bizarre in that nature. You know, that it really is, as you identified before, removing the bug from the software. This is a non-invasive process in terms of that. This is like an experiential thing that fundamentally has us be able to access something that we're not able to access because there's something else in the way.
That's exactly right.
It's just mind-boggling. And for those of you who are listening and you have a product or service, you know, when people buy benefits, and we all know that, and it sounds so trite. However, I hope you're listening for, you know, where are you not quantifying something that is an experience that might increase your ability to service your target market or to even penetrate a different market that you haven't been able to access because you are not necessarily speaking their language in terms of quantifiable results. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about kind of the different applications of this emotional competence in terms of markets because, you know, you mentioned corporate and you used American Express as a reference in terms of their implementation upon the results. Yet you've talked about mothers in the loss of children and post-traumatic stress syndrome for those who have, are veterans. So let's talk a little bit about how you manage such a broad application of the same product. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk with Tom Stone, founder and CEO of Great Life Technologies. We're off to a break now.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Are you looking for innovative ideas on how to achieve your financial dreams? Tune in to Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday afternoon at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Join certified financial planners Ken Smith and Ethan Broga to learn how you can obtain financial success. You'll be entertained while you discover techniques to alleviate your financial concerns. Empirical Investing Radio every Thursday at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. Leadership is a vital skill set in today's competitive global economy. Being a leader is not enough. To succeed, you must optimize your performance and know how to imbue others in your organization with leadership skills. Practical, actionable leadership insights are the focus of Leadership Development News, hosted each Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, by Kathy Greenberg and Relly Nadler on the Voice America Business Channel. Doctors Greenberg and Nadler, who coach global leaders on how to be most effective, will share their insights and contacts. The path to leadership excellence begins here.
Is your business model robust enough? In today's ever-changing business environment, people are working to transform themselves, their futures, and their business. Tune in to Business Reinvention with your host, Nancy Lynn. To stay ahead of the game in business, you have to constantly reinvent yourself and your organization. With Nancy's experience and that of her guest experts, you'll learn from stories of inspiration, innovation, and forward thinking. Listen for Business Reinvention, live every Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We'd love to hear from you today. Please call in to our program at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd prefer, send an email to Jen Sabin at jensabin.com. And remember, that's two N's in Jen. Now, back to Moving Forward.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Tom Stone, founder and CEO of Great Life Technologies, and we're talking about pioneering something new, a new field called human software engineering, and the mind-boggling opportunity available from experiencing this product or service, and in so many ways, the impact it could have for us and our businesses. Just really, really, just getting my arms around it because it's so new and it's so big. So, Tom, I'm curious, there are so many communities that as a business you could introduce this to. You've had incredible results in terms of trauma. You mentioned earlier an example of a mother losing a child. In terms of veterans and, you know, nightmares for years and non-resolution of that and it being handled in an hour and a half, and then having the first good night's sleep in over four decades. And then there's also the corporate arena, the business world, you know, our listeners. Not that those can't overlap, not that, you know, I personally don't have things that traumas in my past or heartbreak or whatever, just from kind of the of living and being involved with other people and relationships. So how do you, as a business, manage these divergent markets without diffusing your resources?
Well, it's an excellent question, Jen. And in fact, this has been a problem, particularly for me, because I'm not so much of a business manager as I am kind of an R&D guy. You know, I love creating stuff. So I've been creating programs for years, and I've not been putting as much attention on the marketing and getting them out there as I probably should have. And as such, the business has not grown in a way that it could. But recently, I've been able to attract some additional people into the business who do have those skills and capabilities. And we're also now narrowing the focus, and we're focusing on basically on three markets. And those markets are the corporate training market. Like I explained, we're launching some testing and quantification activity down in New Zealand, Australia area. We're also, we have an incredible program for upgrading academic performance. As another aspect of human software engineering, we have a procedure that removes the bug in the inner human software that causes people to have to reread things. You know how when people are reading, they have to often reread to get the meaning? We've got a procedure that in less than half an hour makes that problem go away. It's quite incredible. So we're focusing on education, on corporate training, and the third area is the trauma area, and that has a number of fingers or branches to it. We're wanting to do a detailed, comprehensive, evidence-based study on PTSD symptom severity resolution with veterans. We did a small pilot with people in the civilian world, eight people, and in an 8-hour group training, we got a 63% overall symptom severity reduction. And a week later, another assessment went down another 10 points. It was a 73% reduction. Well, it takes the VA 6 months to get a 60% reduction, and that's leaving out the worst cases. So 6 hours or 6 months, take your pick.
Outstanding. And it takes something. It takes that discernment, especially for us when we know that there's, you know, you mentioned the whole planet this could add value to. Like, if, you know, every human being.
We have sports performance improvement programs. We've got programs in virtually every category of society. But obviously, you can't do them all at once. It doesn't work.
No, and that is also a business challenge for those who have something that they want to see, you know, happen in the world. And in this kind of business dynamic with technology and internet and all these mediums, and you look something up and you get 1.7 million hits, you know, to specialize makes sense, to brand makes sense, and yet you know, how do you do that when you're new and more people than not of the 7+ billion on the planet haven't heard from you, you know, don't know who you are in your product and service, and yet it's something that really can revolutionize the planet. really an exciting place to be in terms of the business. I mentioned this before, and I never actually asked it. How would you define emotional competence? So it's the Global Campaign for Emotional Competence. What does that mean?
Well, I have an upgraded definition. My definition is that emotional competence is the ability to recognize and appropriately respond to the experience of your emotions. Appropriately responding to your emotions means that you're able to make the distinction between useful and not useful emotions. And in addition, it means that you've learned and consistently used the skills of resolving not useful emotions quickly and thoroughly. It means that the not useful emotions do not cause you suffering. They do not interfere with your thinking and decision making. So when you're emotionally competent, you have the ability to act from a calm inner clarity and are adept at regaining that calm clarity whenever it becomes temporarily masked by the presence of not useful emotions.
We don't have a lot of time, but it begs a question for me. You know, when you think of kind of the expressive passion of anger, or, you know, those kind of that primal reaction, you know, which is doesn't have or anything cognitive in it, you know, it's primal. Does that still exist with the debugging?
The useful emotions, and virtually any emotion can be useful, are still there because we can't make them go away. I mean, if you're standing on the railroad tracks and a train is coming, the body's innate intelligence is going to create the energy of fear to motivate you to get off the tracks so you don't get squished. That's a useful emotion. Even though it's fear, and we normally think of fear as a negative thing, fear can be a very positive thing, right?
Absolutely.
And the same thing can be true of anger. Sometimes you need the energy of that anger to accomplish something. So the important thing is to be able to know the distinction between just being angry because you're very deeply conditioned to be angry because you grew up in a household where everybody was angry, you know, but that's not useful. That's a conditioned response that's going to actually undermine and cloud and get in the way of effective thinking and decision making. So getting the distinction between the two is incredibly important. And then once you have the distinction, being able to resolve the energy of not useful emotions and regain that sort of calm inner clarity where good decision making comes from. This is what's important in learning to become emotionally competent.
Wow. It really is, as you said, debugging.
It is.
Absolutely.
It's a good analogy. It's a very good analogy, actually.
I'm picturing also those zappers that, you know, I live in the subtropics, so, you know, useful when all the mosquitoes are around, et cetera.
Yeah.
So, Tom, thank you so much for being here today.
You know, what a pleasure. Thank you for having me on, Jen.
I want everyone to be aware of where they could get more information about this. First of all, there's a couple of websites, www.humansoftwareengineering.com. That's www.humansoftwareengineering.com. Also, www.greatlifetechnologies.com. That's www.greatlifetechnologies.com. And there's also a blog at www.innerhumansoftware.com. You could always email Jen Sabin, J-E-N-N-S-A-B-I-N, if you want to get these, or if you want to contact Tom Stone, who's been with us today, you can reach Tom at his email at tom@greatlifetechnologies.com. We're going to wrap up in 1 minute. I'm just curious, Tom, if you could give a gift to anyone or a young adult who's entering into your industry or profession, what would it be?
I would take them through a program called Extraordinary Performance, where we debug their inner human software for all 21 attributes of being a top performer. Such people don't even exist on the planet. People who are at 100% a congruence with all 21 of those qualities. That's what I would do.
What a gift. That's a big box, right?
Oh, it's amazing.
Well, for everyone, thank you so much for tuning in today. This has been Moving Forward with Jen Sabin. We've been exploring emotional intelligence, the next generation, and make this week a Moving Forward week. Take care, everyone.
Thank you again for tuning in to Moving Forward. Please join Jen Saban again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Make your week a Moving Forward week.